This is Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Corby Midline.
Hi there, folks. It's good to talk to you again. I have, well, you know me, I'm the Travel Channel. We all know that my buddy Ali Cheslick has named me that for years. When I do as much traveling as I do, I get to meet some pretty awesome practitioners, not only people who do what I do, but the people who make it possible for us to get to people. And when I was in Plainsboro, New Jersey, a couple of weeks back, I found one of the places that I would consider cream of the crop and a really fabulous example of doing this sort of thing right. So I invited the founder, as she says, Soul, S-O-U-L, practitioner, Michelle Granberg, to talk with us tonight about it. Michelle holds a master's in psychology. She's got over two decades of experience in counseling and coaching. She offers private psycho-spiritual coaching, and her specialty is in hypnotherapy and past life regression. So you can see right there why we really got along. Her business is thriving and well-established, and it's called the Center for Relaxation and Healing. She's had it rocking and rolling since 2002, and she is being gracious enough to give us a little insight on what makes it and her tick. Michelle, it's so good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, Corby. I am fantastic. It's really great to talk to you and to be on your show. Thank you so much. And good to hear from you again so soon.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. You know, I gave the little bitty bio, and you could tell us, well, you know, I started out as a child, as the old Bill Cosby thing goes. But what I really want to know is, what was it inside you that yearned to create something as delicious as the center? What made it a heart-centered business for you?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely it comes from the heart. And I can remember pretty early back, I mean, not as early as childhood, consciously at least, but in my early 30s, I think, just this driving voice, this driving feeling inside of me that made me want to go for something more than just a regular job, sort of paycheck. I was sort of traveling along the course of using my degree, my traditional degrees. I just wanted really to do something more. And so I think because it sprung from that deep, soulful place in me, and it just splashed out, and, you know, I knew I just had to do something. I knew I had to make a mark in the world, and I knew I had to do it in a very real, tangible way with a place with doors and windows that people could really come to.
That takes guts. It really does, because so many, even somebody who would just want to do any brick and mortar business, a yarn store, a natural food store, a clothing store, the idea of creating something solid that's effectively your brick and mortar baby can be incredibly daunting. Why did you know you could do it when so many people look at it and quake in their boots?
I didn't really know. I guess I came first from that wide-eyed, innocent kind of place, and all I knew was I was all starry-eyed, and I just had to see it happen, and I wasn't going to let anything stop me. It sort of all hit the fan in some ways early on in the first few years when I realized, hey, this is going to take a whole lot more. This is going to take a lot of work, and there's a lot of skills that I am missing. You know, but I was willing to fumble through it, and I was willing to learn, and I just knew that I absolutely, you know, was not going to give up. That, you know, that much I knew. So, you know, kind of came from all those humble beginnings.
Did you have any kind of a business background, or was this a learn-as-you-go sort of thing?
No, I had no business background whatsoever. Probably the farthest thing from it, as many sort of what we're talking about in the healing world and in the spiritual world, people making businesses out of that, they don't have a business background, and you have to figure out how to sort of marry the both, and that's a big indicator for success, whether you are comfortably and capably, you know, really able to do that. So I sort of learned on the job, but I came from, you know, the school of life. You know, and my experiences, and I let those drive me. And, you know, the idea of heart-centered business. For me, people are talking about this now, and I didn't really coin that, even though it's a sort of a general term, but it's a new paradigm or a new model for business, I believe, where for me, it's about my business itself is my spiritual practice. It's part of my spiritual work. So it's both my bread and butter and my spiritual world, my spiritual kindred spirits. And there's really no separation from me. So I think that's really what makes the difference. And that's a big part of what makes it run and makes it successful, because it has that heart and soul in it. And I think it's part of a shift, you know, that's going on, as you sort of said, away from the cold sort of dog-eat-dog, very competitive, let's trample on each other to get to where we need to be. But at the same time, I can earn a living, you know, without, you know, tearing others down, without stepping on others. There's really a way to take both the heart, the esoteric, and come into the real world with it.
This is so vital. So one of the things I found, if you are, as I jokingly say, a wiki-woo practitioner, you're a reader, you're a healer.
Right.
You're feeling your sense of the world is so much deeper and more sensitive than people who are not awake. So
right.
To waste 40 hours a week in a job you can't stand, that's tearing
right.
you down, and then expect to be able to just punch out and immediately be in your full, healthy, white light healer self, that's
right.
not really smart. So the whole premise of this first part is every single healer or intuitive out there that's saying, gee, this is what I've always wanted to do,
right.
but I can't for whatever reason. Yes, you can. And
yeah.
this is going to be a 1 hour quick primer on how you start. So let's go right to characteristics of a successful entrepreneur. How can you figure out, yes, I can tame this tiger, or I really need to go find someone else who's already built the holistic center for me? What are the keys you need to be?
Yeah, I think you really have to really reflect hard on that first before you start going out and spending a lot of, because you have to spend money to make money. So really kind of go inside and really figure out, is this for me, and get some information about what that's really going to take. You know, for me, success, I define it as it's both personally satisfying and highly profitable and sustainable. You know, so that's my marker for that. And, you know, entrepreneurship is really not for everybody. Not everybody's cut out. You know, at least initially, you can learn. You can definitely learn to get there. But I think it definitely takes, it doesn't resonate for everybody. It takes a certain breed, you know, to really be able to sort of stomach the ups and downs and really sort of go the distance. And so it's really not for everyone who is more on the sidelines of life. And again, that can be sort of coached. You can coach yourself through that. But those who are more like a wallflower probably aren't drawn to really, because when you're an entrepreneur, you have to be able to put yourself out there. You have to really want it, be willing to do whatever it takes, be willing to work at it. So I think that, you know, the normal stuff like focus and drive and confidence and personal power and a little dash of charisma and being dynamic and having something to say, you know, and having sort of a stand to make, and you want to play big in the world. Like, that's where I was coming from. I didn't know exactly how I was going to do it, but I knew I wanted to make a ripple effect and a bigger impact in the world. And then you have the other practical characteristics that are important. Like, you have to actually be very decisive. People don't understand how important it is to be action-oriented if you're going to be an entrepreneur, and decisive. You have to quickly decide, say, hell yes, or hell no, hell maybe just will not work, and be able to really follow through. And if you're lacking in sound business knowledge, then you need to get, you know, close the gap and get more knowledge and be able to learn. So you, again, can marry your art in the world, the art of healing, with the practical aspects of running your business on a day-to-day basis and be comfortable with that.
I've always found that the Chamber of Commerce, there are small business courses. 10 years ago, when I really wanted to do this full time, I went to the Schoharie County Chamber of Commerce. I said, are there courses for small business and entrepreneurs? Right. And it was really very basic, tab A into slot B. You didn't need to have an MBA from Harvard, and you could make it work. So that's something that is available to anybody.
Absolutely. That's a great resource. And just observing other successful business owners, small business owners, observe them, but do more than observe. Speak to them. Say, can I interview you in an informal way? Can I buy you a cup of coffee? How did you get successful? Tell me some of the steps that got you there. You know, there's ways to learn.
That's great. How many of the monthly networking things or women empowerment, happy hours or whatever, and they're all over. Even if you don't have your business yet, you're allowed to go.
Yeah.
You're allowed to ask people things.
You have to open your mouth and really ask. You can't assume or wait for people to tell you. You have to, again, kind of be a little bit bold. And most of the time, people will love to help you. People like to help, and they like to share their knowledge. And they remember when they first started out, you know, how helpful it would have been to expedite the process if they had someone to mentor them or to guide them or just to answer their seemingly foolish questions that, you know, need to be answered.
Now, why is networking so important for business growth? We've just been talking about it a little bit, why you and I love it, but people need to understand why it's so vital. It's one of their top tens that they really need to pay attention to.
Yeah, networking is absolutely one of the vital essential tips for business growth. You can't grow your business without networking, because you can't grow a business in isolation. You can't do it alone. You have to do certain things alone, but the stronger, the more solid, the more meaningful your network is, the faster it will grow. And there's many reasons that networking has become this sort of networking economy that we're in right now. We're an economy of relationships. And people are understanding more than just putting an ad in a piece of paper. It's out of the relationships where your business is really going to come from. So networking is about genuine, authentic, solid relationship building, making alliances, establishing long-term connections. I can't tell you. I've known so many people over the years, and I try to keep in contact with all the people I know. And it has benefited me so many times where people I've known for years, eventually, all of that turns into actual dollars, actual referrals, and actual people talking about me. So you have to add folks to your professional circle so that you expand your visibility, you tap into word of mouth, you have access to resources that you might not have known about, plus the sources of encouragement that networking brings to you, plus, like we were saying, to observe good models of people already successful. You get to look at them, listen to them, mimic them, talk to them, and meet key people who have some reach and influence already.
Now, do you think that someone has to have a concrete idea of the business they want to create before they start hitting these networking meetings? Or is the, I'm looking to start a heart-centered business, by the way, here's my business card for what I do now, and can I talk to you? Where are you going to be taken most seriously? Do you need your plan, or is it okay to just be beginning to formulate?
Well, you know, it's better if you have a clear, if you already have a clear vision, and that clear vision, you want it to be based on something that already exists. You know, it's not something, nothing new is really being invented right now in terms of businesses. So there's some model out there for what you want to do. So you really do want to kind of get clear of that. Most of the time, some people at networking meetings will be willing to have it be a one-sided kind of conversation where they'll tell you just about their business to be able to help you. But usually they're looking for that sort of, you know, what do you bring to the table and what do I bring to the table? So, you know, I think it does give you more to get that conversation going.
How can you decide which entrepreneurs out there you want to talk to? Let's use your center as an example. If you are going to describe your center in one sentence, you know, that what I call the 30-second elevator pitch, what would you say your center is about?
Well, my center, I think it's a pretty unique model. So it's not really a yoga center. It's not really a wellness center. We could call it sort of a metaphysical center or a mind-body-spirit center. Sometimes I say it's a spiritual learning center. And I think it brings, you know, people, like-minded people together in that way. So for me, I like to align with holistic practitioners, healers, you know, wellness professionals. Those are my colleagues. You know, those are the and people who also maybe are very connected in the media and things like that.
Okay. So do you, will you go up to somebody at a restaurant or in a grocery store if you hear them talking about something that really piques your interest? Is that kind of marketing legit or is that just being nosy?
It really depends. I mean, I probably, you know, would listen to my intuition a little bit if it's if we're sort of just out in a public setting. I've been known to approach people. I went to the bagel store, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, and for some reason just struck up a conversation with a woman, and we wound up exchanging business cards. I don't know if that will ever come to anything, but those kinds of, you know, bumping into one another definitely does happen. You know, at the formal networking groups that are out there, then it's already the tone is set for that's what's going to happen. And so you're literally expected to go around and exchange business information with people, and people are looking to help one another. It's wonderful if it's a holistic kind of networking group as well, which I run some of them here at my center. And then everybody really wants to help one another, you know, and that's your best kind of situation. You got to plunk yourself in the middle of those.
God, it almost sounds like speed dating, but
a little bit.
I'm sure it's not quite that.
Are we a good match for one another? How can we help?
All right. How has marketing really changed since you first opened your business? I mean, 2002, that's a dozen years. And in the world today, a dozen years is like a dozen centuries in the old days.
Oh, my God. So true. So much has really changed in terms of how I do my marketing and just the field itself. When I first started, my main methods of marketing were paper, you know, advertising in the paper and mailing, using the mail system to get my information out. So you could see how not very productive and sort of slow those methods, you know, really were. Now we're in the world of email and social media, and it's really amazing because everything has really speeded up. Never before have we had, at the click of a button, the kind of access to the numbers of people that we have now. You know, this is a rare opportunity. It's really unprecedented in terms of who ever knew in such a short amount of time we would be in this place where you literally can electronically reach hundreds or thousands or more. And so communication speed has really exploded. And for business owners, if you're a business owner versus just a private person, you have to really learn how to take advantage of that because it's here to stay. So you're either in the conversation on social media or you're invisible. And so you have to really learn how to maximize that. And for me, that's just a really ongoing process. And this is how people are hiring when they're looking. More people hire through social media and through websites than ever before. So it's really important to really extend your reach there and to get an expert status through those mechanisms.
Are there three or four that, I mean, there are literally 6,957 social media outlets and you can't do them all. You just can't.
Right.
If you were going to tell people the top three or four, at least start with those. What are they?
Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube. You have to be on all four of those. You absolutely have to be on all four of those.
Why are these four important? Why these four?
Because the volume of people, the volume of traffic, they have the largest percentage of people on them. And you absolutely have to be where everybody is. I think the statistic right now is that 91% of all adults use social media regularly, like we're talking every day or every other day. 91% of adults are on it. So, you can see where love it or hate it, agree with it or disagree with it, it doesn't matter. If you're a business owner, that's where other people are getting your business if you're not out there.
Gotcha. All right, let's look at the idea. You've got your center, you know, the Unicorn and Rainbow Wiki Woo Wellness Center. I'm just going to use that as the name.
That's a good name for it.
How can a business owner stand out when there's so much competition other than these idiot names like I just gave you? And please, nobody out there, no Unicorn and Rainbow Wiki Woo Center. You mustn't do this. Trust me. Have something more sensible for the name. But seriously, how do people stand out?
Yeah, there's a lot of competition, at least where we are. So it really is about differentiating yourself. And that is very, very important to be able to polish yourself in such a way that you stand out. One thing is you have to truly understand your consumer. And I think the way to do that is, initially, I would have been a consumer. If I wasn't the business owner, I would be a consumer of my very business. This is the type of place that I would go to first, that I would be at all the time. So I really do understand it. And I say to myself, because I'm a tough customer, I say to myself, would I like that about my center? Would I be drawn to that? What else would I want to see at my particular center? And so if it would please me and it compels me, then I'm going to say, I understand my market, and others would want it as well. You have to be able to add value, and you have to get clear about what that means, because sometimes we have a distorted view. It's our perception. You got to get a clear view on your value creation, not a biased view. We all think very often we're doing the best, better than anybody else, but you kind of have to ask people. So it pays to really sort of interview and survey your consumers or potential consumers every once in a while, to make sure you really are meeting their needs in terms of having something good to give them, a service or a product or even content, and really have the goods to sort of back that up. Because there are others out there right now doing what you do, so you do have to brand your uniqueness.
I would say you also have to be aware of your cultural bias, your demographics,
sure.
The way you sell your business in metropolitan northern New Jersey is not the way a business could be sold well
right.
Here in upstate rural Republican New York.
Right.
So that's the other thing, is make sure that your vision is not a square peg in a round hole for where you live.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got about 4 minutes before we go to break. It's okay. Just been flying by. Tell people where they can find you if they want to learn from you personally how to put their business together.
Well, they can find me on the web. My website, I have two websites, relaxationandhealing.com or Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, Granberg, Granberg.com. I do private business coaching sessions as well as group coaching sessions and workshops in this area.
Okay. If you're just joining us, this is Corby Mitlide, and you're listening to Fire Through Spirit. My guest this week is Michelle Granberg, who is the Soul, S-O-U-L, practitioner at the Center for Relaxation and Healing in Plainsboro, New Jersey. A brilliant, purely professional, no horse hockey, wonderful place for learning, for healing, for doing workshops. And so what we're talking about today is, if you have a heart-centered business, if you've got a vision that you've always said, I got to make this happen, I have to put this out in the world, and you don't know how, make sure that you listen very carefully. Get pen, get paper, get your iPad out, because we're going to be discussing an awful lot of things in the second part of the show. Keys for effective marketing, why some centers fail, why passion is a great place to start, but you need to add things on that. And a particular workshop that she does called Establishing a Healing Practice. So don't go away. We're going to pop to break now, but we have lots when we come back on Fire Through Spirit.
You're listening to Empower Radio. For a complete archive of Fire Through Spirit, visit empowerradio.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes and Stitcher Radio. More Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline next on Empower Radio.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. Then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's a helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Now, back to Fire Through Spirit with Corby Midline.
Welcome back to an absolutely fascinating discussion. My guest this week is Michelle Grandenberg, who is the Soul, S-O-U-L, practitioner and owner for the Center for Relaxation and Healing in Plainsboro, New Jersey. I had the good fortune of doing workshops and readings there a couple of weeks ago, and it really was absolutely stellar in terms of how it was put together, the level of clientele, and the level of commitment from them. So we're talking today about what would it take if you're a heart-centered practitioner to make your own business blossom. So let's talk about health and wellness. I mean, I do intuitive stuff, but a lot of my listeners, you've got massage therapists, you've got acupuncturists, you've got people who deal with counseling in various forms. Again, the way it was when we all first started is not the way it is as we move into the second quarter of the 21st century. What's going on with health and wellness that you need to take into account if you want to open a thriving business today?
Well, I do believe that the health and wellness field is expanding, not contracting. And this is wonderful news. you know, where some other fields are shrinking, you know, alternative health, complementary health is really the wave of the future. So, you know, it's here now, and it's only going to continue to expand, as well as, you know, this sort of spiritual field and the metaphysical field sort of parallel to that. And, you know, currently it's driven and led by entrepreneurs, because it's not that there are actual jobs out there so as much as there are people just having, again, that drive and that passion, the desire to create the market itself. So, you know, they're popping up. You know, health and wellness organizations are popping up and opening all of the time, and I think that it really does represent a shift in mindset towards wellness versus illness, and just sort of a shift in consciousness as well. You know, when you really look at how many more even yoga centers there are now than there ever were before. So the focus really being more on holistic health, mind, body, and spirit, keeping ourselves well and knowing that stress is all part of that, you know, and related to disease. And so how we can, you know, live longer, have a more quality life.
Okay. One of the things that I know a lot of actual health programs like MVP or Empire Health Plan, they have programs that encourage people to go to yoga, do some of the alternative things.
Yeah.
Is it useful to find these, if you will, left brain health practitioners and associate yourself with them? Or does that defeat the purpose of an alternative center?
I think eventually we all have to sort of come together and be unified. So hopefully at some point it'll be very fluid, that there won't be traditional or allopathic versus or instead of complementary and holistic. Hopefully it's going to be one integrative field. So I think it pays to educate one another and how at least at this point we can, you know, complement one another that way. And you're right, the wellness aspect has gotten its way into insurances and into corporate, and, you know, there's all kinds of incentives available as employers, and even hospitals are realizing you have to keep people well. That's how you keep costs down, as well as that's how people, you know, it enhances their life.
Okay. Now, you know, we all have a passion. I teach a course called Create Your Sentence of Passion. The idea being when you know what your life's rallying cry is, you can change the world.
Yes.
But passion is only the starting point.
Right.
So I don't want to say why isn't it enough, but why do you have to build on it from there? Because otherwise, you know, we look at the old 1940s movies with Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, let's put on a play in a barn, and they win a Tony. That doesn't work that way anymore.
Right. That's
so
right.
What has to be built on top of it?
Yeah, so passion is essential, but it doesn't ensure success. So it's important to sort of, you're right, marry that together with the practical. We hear, you know, follow your bliss, that wonderful saying that Joseph Campbell gave us, and we hear people say, love what you do and the money will follow. And there is definitely truth in that. That's a foundation. It sounds great. It feels great. It's true. We do all have a purpose, I believe. We all have a unique gift and a voice to offer in the world that's really part of our blueprint. It's part of our DNA. It's something we're born with. And you definitely want to be aligned with that. However, you have to be able to treat your business as an entity that exists to make profit at the same time, that it's not a paid hobby. And there's, you know, you're not going to be able to, over the long term, if you want it to go far, if you want it to last, you have to be able to really plug into the practical stuff. So coming from a place of service, I think that's the spark. You know, but that spark has to grow into something real, a real fire, a real, you know, roaring fire. But the passion, you always come back to your original passion because that's your juice. It's what keeps you going when things are tough or tight or confusing or you want to give up. So, you know, for healers, those of us in this field, that's often a place where people get stuck, you know, You know, and I like to say to those healers, you deserve to be richly rewarded for your gifts because they really are valuable. And it's definitely, you know, an exchange. So you want to learn marketing and business skills because without that, you can't reach anybody and you won't be able to really do your work in the world. So marketing is the vehicle. Your business is the platform so you can fulfill that bigger purpose.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about those keys or tips for effective marketing. We have talked about networking. We've talked about social media. But there has to be some good old-fashioned stuff that is also useful. Let's take what I did. My assistant, Lynn Mazzoli, called you and said, Corby wants to come into New Jersey. She's got all these workshops. She can do readings. And we came to the agreement, yes, you and I wanted to play together. And we use social media, but what else did we use that made it work? The old-fashioned stuff.
Yeah. The old-fashioned stuff, the actual, you know, work that I do is, it's all about, you know, letting people know. And that's what marketing is. Marketing is how you reach people. And to actually get results when you market, you can't just market once in a while. You can't just do one or two things. You have to do many things many times. You have to market consistently and repeatedly and strategically if you want to reach people in a really big way. And so, you know, one of the things, you really have to be able to build your list. It's really, really crucial. In other words, you have to keep meeting people, and as you meet people, you want to engage them. And as you engage them, you want to get them onto an email list, some kind of list, so that you can keep constant contact with them. And that's where you're going to rely on that list to feed into your business. So, you know, that's how I employed that to bring people in for your workshops and your readings.
Okay, that's things like MailChimp. For people who don't know, MailChimp is a wonderful email list service where you can do newsletters, you can do sales flyers, there's all kinds of things, and they maintain your list for you so that you can go in and do your template and boom, they send it out.
Yeah, you need some sort of automated email list, email management, email organizing, you know, method.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I find is you've got to, at least in the beginning, give a little more, whether it's grand opening coupons, whether it is going on to an AA, especially with people like me, you go on to a morning show on the radio and maybe you give away tickets to an event you're doing or things like that. That's also part of marketing, and you have to factor that in. Does that work with something like what you've created with a wellness center?
Yes, absolutely. And I will do things for free. As long as it puts me in front of especially a large group of people, you want to take every single one of those opportunities. You want to be able to stand in front of people flesh to flesh. You need a physical presence as well as an online presence as well as a presence, you know, on paper or in writing so that more and more people get to know you so you get more of that buzz and more of that, you know, word of mouth going. So all of those things have to be constantly circulating in terms of your name, your reputation, coupled with what you do.
The other thing that I have found, and I'd love your opinion on this, is you have to realize there are 9 billion people in the world and you can't service them all.
Mm-hmm.
For me, wonderful synergistic energy is created when you find someone else who does what you do.
Yes.
And you say, how can we help each other? It's a little different from networking.
Yes.
Maybe it's a joint effort. Let's say that there is a very expensive name that you want to bring to town and your business can't afford to do it all alone. Maybe there are 2 or 3 businesses that would want to join you in this. And so you've got to think, to me, inclusively, not exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
When is that appropriate, and when is it going to shoot you in the foot as you're starting?
Yeah, that's a great, I think, you know, in the beginning, you know, others have more to offer than you have, so it definitely pays to ride on others' coattails a little bit and piggyback with others in that way. As long as they're not doing exactly what you do, as long as there's not too much overlap, as you're right, as well as, you know, it kind of goes back and forth that way, I think it's very important. And that happens with time. That just continues to grow with time. You know, I have this wonderful television show that I was so fortunate that you were able to be a guest on my show, which will be airing at some point in the near future. And so I've built myself up to the place where I had something to offer through a television show, and now it's at the place where maybe I can get some well-known people onto my show so that I get that. I get to be part of them and what they have to offer, and at the same time, what I give to them is, again, another platform to be exposed to more people as well. So that's that great synergistic energy that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I have found that's a real pitfall for people who are just starting out is too much icing, not enough cake. In other words, they have a great website and spiffy business cards and wonderful letterhead and great furniture, and they haven't got clue one about where they're going to get their people. They don't know whether or not they need to hire an employee. So what can one do to avoid that pitfall? How do you say, this is an A-list expense, I've got to do it. This is a B-list, I'd really like that. And C, maybe I'll do it for my 10th anniversary sale. What do people need right at the first?
I think, you know, a website, of course, is one of the first things that you need. So that is worth investing in. To have a good website, it doesn't have to be overly complicated, but you just need to have a website and begin to sort of get that out and begin to get yourself on social media, because social media is basically free for the most part, or very inexpensive. So that's some of the first places to start. You know, get yourself some, you know, basic marketing materials that you can begin to hand out, and then, you know, start offering things. Pick one thing, whether it's doing a teleseminar, or whether it's a workshop on the web, or whether it's an in-person workshop, or whatever it is, but start to focus on one thing, follow through on that, and get yourself out there with that, because it's going to start small. I mean, it really does. It starts slow no matter what. You sort of can't bypass the slow fits and starts, and then it only begins to pick up speed after sort of you get a critical mass. You have a certain amount of people that know about you, a certain amount of people you're sort of aligned with, and then it sort of hits that tipping point where it gets faster and it gets easier and your name gets out there a whole lot more.
It's also important to really know what is your bread and butter. For years with me, and to a great deal of extent now, it is the readings. Have I done other things? Yes. For a while, I had a Bath and Body line. For a while, I actually had chocolate called Feather Silk, because right. The idea was during the economic downturn, everybody ate chocolate. And they were fun, but they would take away from what I was meant to do.
Right, right.
So how can you judge whether you're going, if you will, off point when you see all these delicious auxiliary or added on things? How do you make your decisions about this will work for me, this won't?
Well, in the beginning, it's a lot of trial and error. But at the same time, I think when people start out, you're right, they get very distracted. They see too many things that they can do, and they get distracted by the next thing or this. I got to try this, and I got to try this. After a while, you start to see where you're getting the most return, you know, on your dollar and on your energy and on your time. So in a mathematical way, you're going to probably make the least amount of money in one-on-one sessions, because typically a one-on-one session takes 30 minutes to an hour, and each of us only have a certain amount of hours, you know, workable hours in the day, so right there it's sort of limiting. If your income is only going to come from one-on-one sessions, you're probably not going to be able to make the money and be as successful as you really like to be. So you really do have to have multiple streams of income, and some of those streams of income have to be able to be generating sort of passively, that whole passive income idea. Maybe it's something that you have that you're selling, a product, a set of CDs or a course that people can buy, you know, at any point. You know, for me, it's renting the space, and it's, you know, many other things like that. So you, and certainly groups. Groups can often, if you have something valuable to offer in a group, that's going to be able to bring you more people at once. And that's really important because you need those things you can rely on to sustain your business.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. All right, so if we were going to give people, if you will, let's say, five commandments, five things, boom, 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 that if they leave this and decide, today I want to start making my business happen, what do they need to do? What are the five most important things they need to do to really get things started?
Well, I think maybe one of the first things you want to do is to sort of write down any of the negative or limiting beliefs that you have around yourself, as a business person, around marketing, around money, even. Just do a quick list of those, sort of what is the negative voices in your head, and then look at those and make an attempt to sort of say, okay, that's something I need to change, that I want to release, and to begin to write down some more positive things. The other part is to begin already to start really setting some goals and put those things down in writing as well. What are your short-term, your mid-term, and your long-term goals? And make sure you break them down into small enough actionable steps so that you have real concrete things. And if you need help with that, reach out and get help. Get a coach, you know, or get a group, or, you know, read something and get some help with that. And make sure that when your business does get going, you know, there's the whole spending time in my business versus in addition to spending time on my business. They're both equally important, but you have to make sure you're spending still a good amount of time working on your business, on growing it. In other words, marketing. You want to block out on your calendar and really stick to it. I'm going to say conservatively at least 2 hours a week on marketing, if not more. You know, and that may wax and wane as your business becomes busier. Hopefully your business becomes very busy, so you're pretty busy, but at the same time you have to work smartly and efficiently so you still have time to continue to grow the business.
Okay. When do you say to yourself, okay, I've given it the best shot. Maybe it's not working. Do you quit, change, sell it, or keep going? Because people need to understand they're not supposed to, you know, die on their shield here.
Right. Absolutely. You know, especially those of us who are like you and I are, it's hard for us to, we get very emotional. And we have emotional attachments and investments to the types of businesses that we have, because we're not selling widgets and we're not just moving numbers or paper clips around. So, you know, we're talking about our business is caring for people. It's a caregiving kind of field. So, you know, the first thing is to sort of try to separate from that a little bit. Maybe you need to talk to somebody who can give you some objective point of view, or someone who's more left brain, right, whatever that is, someone who's maybe an accountant for a living, who's not a healer. And then, you know, I tell people, look at the model that you have. Is it something that you can work on and recreate, or is the model itself not working? Is it just not realistic to think that really there is a demand out there? Or is it just that you're giving up too soon? Sometimes, you know, you don't realize how much work is involved. People give up too soon. They didn't realize how much of a commitment it really was. So, you know, there's lots of different things to consider. But if your bills are going unpaid for a certain amount of time, you know, a few months, then maybe you need to consider that maybe at least for a period of time, get a part-time job, you know, have a safety net, you know, don't do things that are too risky in that regard.
People need to remember, especially if you're going to be doing a wellness business, a heart-based business, your first and most important client is you.
Absolutely.
Ripping yourself apart, pushing yourself beyond where you can comfortably go is not good business sense. That's the model that we see out in the left brain world.
Yes,
if
exactly.
you take a lunch, you're considered a slacker. If you're not available 24/7, your boss thinks you're not serious. Right. That's not what being an entrepreneur is. Being an entrepreneur is working smarter, right. not harder.
Exactly.
Now, in your Establishing a Healing Practice workshop, what do people learn? How does that work?
So in that workshop, we talk about some of the things that you and I have been talking about here, and we really focus on the business aspect, not the healing aspect, of having a practice. I help people to move past their blocks so that they can bring that dream into reality. But I give them real tools, actual tools. I list out what you need to get started. I define some business terms for them. We talk about very real things like taxes, paying taxes, like accounting, like record keeping, and then, of course, marketing and advertising and social media and networking. I give people a platform for questions and answers. At the end, in the latter part of the workshop, I have them write their goals out and really sort of promises that they're making to themselves about the next steps. And we also practice elevator speeches, what we call an elevator speech, which is, you know, where you compile a short, brief introduction about yourself and your business and what it is, that if you practice it, you rehearse it, and you refine it, and then it's something that you can pretty much memorize or know, internalize, so that you can introduce yourself to people both in formal networking meetings as well as informally. You know, whenever you meet someone, you feel prepared and you don't struggle for the words that you want to say. So those are some of the things that we cover in the workshop. There's a lot of content. There's a lot of content.
I really can't thank you enough for being part of the show today, Michelle. There are so many people that, because economics are kind of roller coaster in this country, they say, well, I used to do massage in college, or, well, I've always played with tarot cards, so I think I'll go open a business and make money that way. And they need to understand they are setting themselves up for failure that way, that it may be a metaphysical business, but it's a business.
Right.
And while it truly is vital for what we do to get out there for people, you have to do it the right way, which is the sane way, the economically feasible way, the
yes.
smart way that takes care of not only your clients, but you.
Yeah.
And as yes. I said, your center is one of the best examples that I know of what really works. So tell people again where they can find you and where they can find the center.
Best way to reach me from anywhere is on the web. My websites are relaxationandhealing.com, michellegramberg.com. My phone number is 609-750-7432, or they can reach me through you. And I can certainly do coaching and give advice, you know, by email or by phone or Skype as well.
Perfect. Again, thank you so much. I have every intention of getting myself back to New Jersey in 2015. The time with you was just delicious, and I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Corby. It's been a pleasure on my end as well.
So, the end of another week here at Fire Through Spirit. If today has been useful, if it's sparked some ideas for you, there are a couple of books that I'm going to recommend, along with, of course, Michelle and her wonderful resources. A classic on this is by Jerry Larkin. It's called Building a Business the Buddhist Way. Doesn't mean you have to shave your head and wear saffron, but it's how to build a business so that it is win-win. And to help you just march away from your doubts, I recommend Michael Lozier's book, Law of Attraction, The Science of Getting More of What You Want and Less of What You Don't. It's not the secret, it's neuro-linguistic programming, which helps you program your brain to support you in your business, not fight you every step of the way. The last thing that I'm going to tell you is, if you have an idea for this, if it's your passion, put it out there. It's needed. There are tons and tons of people out there who don't know that there are alternative ways of healing and empowerment, and that is what you and I are all about. So until next week, have a terrific 7 days, and we'll see you again Thursday night for Fire Through Spirit.